In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Greetings, brothers and sisters. And today we are celebrating our 15th anniversary here at St. Michael's Church on this day of our patronal feast. And once again, we take this time out to honor our great patron, St. Michael, the commander of the heavenly hosts. And we're very fortunate to have such a mighty patron as St. Michael, because he's a great protector against evil, which there seems to be quite a lot of these days. One of the great miracles that the church celebrates each year that's an example of his protection is called the Miracle of Konae. And this was a place in Asia Minor in ancient times. And these evil pagans wanted to destroy this church that was dedicated to St. Michael. And all their efforts had failed. They tried all kinds of different things. And they tried to kill the caretaker of the church, who was a monk, Archippus. And so they finally came up with what they thought was a foolproof plan. They would dig out a channel from the nearby river and divert all that water so that it would completely flood the church and then kill Archippus, the caretaker. However, St. Archippus would not abandon the church no matter what, and he prayed to St. Michael for help. And as all of a sudden these roaring waters came rushing towards the church, St. Michael suddenly appeared with this great big spear, and he thrust it into the ground, and a great hole opened up, and all the water disappeared down this hole. And so St. Archippus was saved, and the church was saved, and the pagans were put to shame. Well, at every divine liturgy, we invoke the presence of the holy angels to join with us. During the cherubic hymn, we say, "Let us who mystically represent the cherubim and chant the thrice holy hymn to the life-creating Trinity, now lay aside all earthly cares, that we may receive the King of all, who comes invisibly escorted by the angelic hosts." So when we serve the divine liturgy, the holy angels are present with us, even though, you know, we don't usually see them with our bodily eyes, because we're not, you know, that spiritual, most of us, you know, and probably God does that so that we don't get too prideful anyway. If we saw angels, we'd probably go around saying, "Hey, I'm pretty special. I saw angels today. Did you?" You know, and the person would say no, and haha, you know, we might say something like that, you know. So God really knows what's best for us. If he wants to show us an angel, he certainly will, or if it's necessary for us, and that'll be great. But in the meantime, we just have to trust, you know, that they're there, you know. Angels are mentioned throughout the scriptures, obviously, and, you know, they appeared to the shepherds at the birth of Christ, and all throughout the Old Testament at different times they appeared, and things like this. But a disciple of Saint the Apostle Paul, Saint Dionysius the Areopagite, was given a vision in which he beheld all the different ranks of angels and all their functions. And this is he wrote a little treatise called On the Celestial Hierarchies, and that's become one of the greatest ways that we know about the angels. And in this little book, he says that there are 9 ranks of angels. And the highest ranks, there are the 6-winged seraphim and the cherubim, the thrones, and then there's the dominions, virtues, and powers, the principalities, archangels, and angels, among whom are our guardian angels. And each of these has their particular service to mankind. You know, they help influence governments to do good things. They help inspire us to, towards virtue. They help the saints and the church and all these things. You know, so their ministry is really behind the scenes, so to speak, in that they're invisible. But the great archangel Michael, of course, is the commander of all the bodiless heavenly hosts, of which they're just without number. I mean, there's so many of them. And it was St. Michael who led the armies of the angelic hosts into battle against the rebellious Lucifer and cast out his evil demons from heaven, which is mentioned in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. There's also a few highlights, you know, throughout the scriptures that the Holy Fathers tell us what were times when the Archangel Michael came to act on behalf of the people of God or for some purpose. During the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt, it was St. Michael that went before them in the form of a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And the power of St. Michael was also manifest in the annihilation of the 185,000 soldiers of the Assyrian emperor Sennacherib, and that's mentioned in 2 Kings chapter 19. Also in the smiting of the impious leader Heliodorus, which is mentioned in 2 Maccabees 3, And in the protection of the three holy youths, Ananias, Azarias, and Mishael, remember Nebuchadnezzar threw them into this fiery furnace, and you know, because they wouldn't worship idols and so on. And but then in fact, the furnace was so hot that even the soldiers that built up the fire were getting killed because the flames were shooting out and burning them to death, you know. And so then all of a sudden they heard all this singing, and they look inside the furnace, and here's the three youths just walking around, you know, singing and having a good old time. And they saw a fourth person there who was described as being like the Son of God. And the Holy Fathers tell us this was actually St. Michael who came and protected them. So, you know, they eventually were released and unharmed out of this fiery furnace. And this is recorded in the book of Daniel, chapter 3. Through the will of God, the chief commander Michael transported the prophet Habakkuk from Judea to Babylon to give food to Daniel in the lion's den. That's in Daniel 14. And the archangel Michael also disputed with the devil over the body of the holy prophet Moses, as is recorded in Jude chapter 1. There's many, surely many other things that St. Michael and the holy angels have accomplished for us that we don't even know about, but these are just some of the highlights that are mentioned. And so St. Michael and the holy angels watch over us and protect us, even though we're not always aware of this. But we have only to call on his heavenly intercession, and in our time of need, he will quickly come to our aid. And today we also want to take a moment to celebrate the founding of St. Michael's Church here in Huntsville. And by God's merciful providence, and with the help of the original founders of our church, St. Michael's was granted its charter by the Serbian Orthodox Church in the year 2002. Our church moved into its present building 10 years ago in 2007, and since that time, over 50 souls have received baptism and or chrismation, and many more people have learned about our Orthodox faith through visiting our church and meeting its members. During the recent visit of our Bishop Longan, when he blessed our new church property on Madison Boulevard, he gave a short talk congratulating our church. For those of you who haven't read your newsletter yet, there's a complete transcript of that talk. It's just a very short one page, so I encourage you to read it. It's very edifying and inspiring. But I'll give a couple of highlights. Bishop Longan referred to St. Michael's as a parish with a big heart, even though we are small in number. Because, you know, some of the Serbian churches are huge. They have, you know, thousands of members, and obviously we're not that big. But he was impressed that, you know, we're doing all these different things and trying to build this, you know, new fellowship hall and develop the property and all the things that we're doing. He said that having blessed our new property, it has now become holy ground, and that it will become a sacred place where people can pray to God, experience meeting their Creator, and partake of Holy Communion. And he says, for the good work and success of the parish, there must be unity, harmony, brotherly love, and understanding. Only strong faith in God and life according to that faith can save us. Faith works through love, and that means love for God and one's neighbor. Well, today's gospel about Christ having raised Jairus' daughter from the dead is a testimony to that kind of faith. Jairus turned to Christ for help as his daughter was near death. But the Holy Fathers talk about how you almost inevitably compare Jairus to the centurion. And you can see that the centurion, who even though he was a pagan, had even stronger faith than Jairus, because when the Lord offered to go to the centurion's house to heal his servant, the centurion said, no, I'm not worthy that you should enter my house. But just say the word only and my servant will be healed. But of course, Jairus, you know, just understood things in this way, that Jesus needed to come there and physically lay his hands on his daughter. And the Lord was willing to do that. So as they were beginning to walk toward his house, and then they had the woman with the issue of blood who was healed, and probably lots of other delays, Jairus is probably, you know, going out of his mind with worry, because, you know, he knew that his daughter might perish at any time. And so, but finally someone came and told Jairus that yes, in fact, his daughter had already died. And Jesus turned to Jairus and said, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Now Jairus is, you know, he's of the Jewish faith, he's the, you know, leader of the synagogue. He's an important person. He's well-educated. You know, he believes in God. He says his prayers. I mean, this is asking a lot, you know. He doesn't have a lot of faith, but now his daughter has died, and Jesus tells him, just don't be afraid, believe only, and she shall be made whole. I mean, this is a little hard to take. And Jairus had to make a choice right at this moment. You know, should he turn away in sorrow like the rich young man and say, Lord, you know, thanks anyway, but, you know, she's passed away, there's nothing you can do. Or should he make this leap of faith and trust the Lord? And obviously that's what he did. He just somehow in himself thought, okay, let's go. You know, who knows? Maybe the Lord can do something. And he cast aside his doubts and fears, and he trusted in the Lord. And even when they got there, all the family and friends that were gathered in the house, when Jesus said, she's only sleeping, you know, and they laughed him to scorn. They mocked him. And of course, now Jairus, you know, had an important reputation and position to uphold. You know, now he's going to look kind of foolish, isn't he? If this thing doesn't work, you know. So he's risking everything. His whole life, his work, his job. Maybe they'll find another ruler of the synagogue, you know, because they think he's gone out of his, you know, he's lost his marbles or something. But Jairus sticks with it. He doesn't say, you know, actually, Jesus, on second thought, I think, you know, let's call it a day here. You know, I mean, my daughter's dead, and I just need to go bury her now. And, you know, I mean, no, he sticks with it. And so because of this willingness, Jairus suddenly became bold and in his willingness to step out on faith. And so because of this, he trusted in the Lord, and of course his daughter was raised from the dead and made completely well. And all the scorners and mockers were put to shame. Well, brothers and sisters, this is a good image for us because, you know, we all probably have not the strongest faith in the world, you know. And there's times when we're not sure that we can accomplish something. You know, we're not sure we as a church can necessarily build all this hall and church building. How will we do this, you know? And yet, in the past year, look at how far we've come. You know, we've made great progress. And God has really blessed us and helped us. And many people have given generously, and they've donated their time and their talent and their treasure. And it's going really well. And we can really see that, you know, you can almost see the hall being built, you know, anytime now. So we need to trust in the Lord, even though it might not seem rational and logical or conform with business norms, you know, of this world, because we know that God is all-powerful and he can do anything. So brothers and sisters, let us imitate this bold faith that Christ may come and raise us from out of our spiritual slumber and death to life eternal, that we might too join him one day in the kingdom of heaven. Glory be to our God.
Glory be to our God.